Bible we're reading today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 21. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you.
Let me say what a blessing it has been to be ministered to by the group of young people who have led the service this morning. Thank you to all of the musicians. I counted 10 who were part of the worship team, and you all did wonderfully well. And for an old man like me, it was so nice to hear the organ. We don't often hear organs being played these days. In fact, yours is one of the very rare churches left that has an organ. So it was nice to have that included as part of the worship ministry. And thank you to Nathan for your prayer. It's so encouraging to see young people who are so zealous and have such a passionate heart for the Lord. And I feel very encouraged. I trust you feel encouraged too. Let's pray as we ask the Lord to speak to us through his word this morning. Father, thank you that we've been able to worship you in song this morning as we have expressed the praises of our hearts. Thank you that we've been able to pray to you. Thank you that we have been able to read your word. Thank you that we have been able to give our offering. And now, Lord, as we come to concentrate and to focus upon what your word has to teach us, we pray that you will give us receptive hearts. We pray that we might not just hear your word this morning, but we pray that we might apply it to our personal lives. And so, Lord, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher. May your Holy Spirit open our eyes and open our understanding. May your Holy Spirit impress your word upon our hearts this day. We pray in the name of Jesus, amen. I I have in my library at home a book on the life of King David. And that book is entitled The Making of a Man of God. It's rather interesting that this title, A Man of God, is used some 70 times throughout the Old Testament scriptures. Moses, Samuel, David, Elijah, Elisha, these are just a few of the many who in Old Testament times are referred to by this distinguishing title, a man of God. But as we come over into the New Testament, we find that this particular title is only used on two occasions. Firstly, it is used in a very general sense in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, wherein Paul writes, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then, secondly, it's used in a very specific sense here in our reading for this morning, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, where Paul says to Timothy, but you, man of God. It's interesting that Timothy is the only man in the whole of the New Testament who is referred to in this descriptive way as a man of God. But you, O man of God. Now perhaps in applying this descriptive title to Timothy, Paul was wanting to remind Timothy and to reassure Timothy of the long line of distinguished prophets and servants in whose footsteps he was following. In our passage for this morning, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul outlines four distinguishing characteristics of a man of God. Now let me hasten to add that these are four distinguishing characteristics of a woman of God as well. So all of you females, don't just switch off and think that this sermon only applies to the males in the congregation. Paul is using the title man of God in a very generic sense. But everything that he says about a man of God applies equally to a woman of God as well. Now, I'll probably follow in the main Paul's methodology, but let me emphasize the message is for females as well as for males. Paul says a man of God, a woman of God, is characterized in four ways: by what they flee from, by what they follow after, by what they fight for, and by what they are faithful to. So remember the four F's: fleeing, following, fighting, faithful. First of all, a man of God, a woman of God, is characterized by what they flee from. In verse 11, Paul says, "But you, man of God, flee, flee from all of this." The word "to flee" literally means to take to your heels and run. It means to run away from something as far and as fast as you can. It was used in relation to the running away from a wild animal, or the running away from a poisonous snake, or the running away from a deadly plague. A man of God, a woman of God, is characterized by what they flee from. They are to constantly and continually flee from those things which would undermine and destroy their life and ministry. Now, we have already seen in our studies thus far, in his letter to Timothy, Paul has instructed Timothy to flee from many things, from immorality, from idolatry, from false teaching, from youthful lusts. Here, he simply says, "But you, O man of God, flee from all of this." Now, what does the "all of this" refer to? In the immediate context, the "all of this" refers to the love of money. Let's go back to verse 9 and verse 10. Paul writes, "People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, O man of God, flee from all of this." Flee from all of the attendant evils which are associated with the love of money. Later in our passage for this morning, Paul goes on to say in verse 17, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God." There is nothing which can more easily or more quickly or more effectively undermine and destroy a person's life and ministry as can a love of money or a desire to be rich. The focus of so many people in our world today is upon getting rich. But Paul is saying to Timothy here, "Man of God, you are to run away from this. Run away as far and as fast as you can. Run away from the desire to be rich." We know from Balaam in the Old Testament to Judas Iscariot in the New Testament, from the money-hungry televangelists of the 20th century to the health, wealth, and prosperity evangelists of this century, the love of money, the lure of money, the desire to be rich has undermined and destroyed many a person's life. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And so Paul's advice to young Timothy is, Timothy, run away from these things. Flee from them as far and as fast as you can. Remember Joseph? Back in the Old Testament, he was a man who took to his heels and ran for his life. When Joseph was being sexually seduced by Potiphar's wife, he didn't hang around, but he ran. He ran from the house. He ran for his life. He didn't linger in the presence of temptation. He ran as far and as fast as he could. That's the advice Paul gives to Timothy. Man of God, woman of God, if you want to be faithful to God, you are to flee from all of this. But then secondly, Paul goes on to say, a man or a woman of God is characterized by what they follow after. Paul goes on to write there in verse 11, you, O man of God, flee from all of this and follow after or pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. You see, the Christian life is not just a matter of fleeing from something. It's not just a matter of being negative. The Christian life is also a life of following after something. It's a life of being positive. It's interesting that the word to follow is the exact opposite. The exact opposite of the word to flee. The word to follow means to run after, to relentlessly pursue, to run after and pursue, such as in a hunt or a chase. Timothy is to flee from what is wrong, and he is to follow what is right. If he ceases to flee from what is wrong, then that which is wrong will eventually catch up to him. If he ceases to follow after what is right, that which is right will ultimately elude him. And so a man of God, a woman of God, is characterized in these two ways: what they flee from, what they follow after. And you will notice there are six things that we are to follow after. Paul says to Timothy, you are to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. First of all, in their relationship toward other people, they are to follow after righteousness. They are to maintain a right attitude, a right relationship toward others. In their relationship toward God, they are to follow after godliness. Godliness or godlikeness must be an evident characteristic of their life. Their life must be characterized by holiness and purity. In their relationship toward duty, they are to follow after faith. Faith, or more literally, faithfulness, must characterize the way they perform their duties and responsibilities. It has been well said that the greatest of all abilities is what? The greatest of all abilities. Reliability. Or dependability. That's the greatest ability that anyone can have. in their relationship toward everybody, they are to follow after love. There's a beautiful verse in Romans 13 that says, we are to owe no man anything except to love one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for the other. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. In their relationship towards circumstances, they are to follow after endurance. They are to patiently endure the various trials and testings which may come their way. Endurance. I wonder if any of you can remember that scene from my favourite movie. Do you know what my favourite movie is? Chariots of Fire. And there's a very wonderful scene when Harold Abrahams had suffered his very first defeat in running. He'd never been beaten before, but this time he lost the race. And at the top of his voice he bellowed, if I can't win, I won't run. And his girlfriend very wisely replied, if you don't run, you can't win. Endurance, a quality of a man or woman of God. And then sixthly, in their relationship toward themselves, they are to follow after gentleness. Gentleness means meekness. It means patience under provocation. It means power under control. They are the qualities that we are to pursue. Perhaps you should write them out on a card. Perhaps you should stick them up on your bedroom wall or in front of the mirror in the bathroom. The things that you are to follow after. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faithfulness, love, endurance, gentleness. A man of God, a woman of God, is characterized by what they flee from, by what they follow after. And then thirdly, Paul says, a man or a woman of God is characterized by what they fight for. Verse 12. Paul writes to Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. There are some things which we are to flee from. There are some things that we are just to take to our heels and run away from. But there are other things which we should stand our ground for and fight for. It's interesting, isn't it, how many times Paul likens the Christian life to a contest, to a battle. So many times he addresses us as fighters or as warriors or as soldiers or as contenders. The exciting thing is, in this contest, and I guess that's why it's called the good fight, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. We do not fight in order to win. We fight because in Christ we have already won. We don't fight to gain the victory. We fight to maintain the victory that is already ours because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And so Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith. but make sure you fight from a position of victory. And in order to again reassure Timothy in all of this, he urges him to take hold of. It's a very strong expression. To take hold of the eternal life, which is already his as a present possession. The eternal life which he had received when he made that good confession at the time of his baptism. Paul says, take hold of the eternal life. Reminds me of a similar expression that he used over in his letter to the Philippians when he said that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We don't work for our salvation. You can't work for your salvation. But once you are saved, you are to work out your salvation. You are to demonstrate it in the way that you live your life. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy here. Take hold of the eternal life that is already yours. Eternal life is not a prize to be achieved. It's a gift to be received. And so Paul says, live it out. Demonstrate it. Show it by the way that you live your life. And so we are to flee. We are to follow. We are to fight. And then the fourth thing Paul mentions in this passage is that we are to be faithful. We are to be faithful too. In verses 13 and 14 he says, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you. To keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I charge you to keep this command. Now, what's the command? What's he talking about here? I charge you to keep this command. Well, we can't be exactly sure. Perhaps it was what he had just written in verses 11 and 12. The need to flee, to follow, to fight. If we are to be a man of God, we are to flee, we are to follow, we are to fight. But perhaps he's being more all-embracing here. Perhaps this command refers to the whole gospel, which Timothy is to faithfully preserve and fearlessly proclaim. Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, I charge you. I put you under solemn oath. I charge you to preserve and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many, many times in Paul's letters, he has urged Timothy to be faithful to this gospel, to guard this gospel. Later in this very same chapter, in verse 20, he says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Guard it. And then as you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Be faithful, says Paul. Be faithful to this gospel in the way that you live it out and in the way that you proclaim it to others. And so here are the characteristics of a man of God. Do you aspire to be a man of God? Do you aspire to be a woman of God? Do you aspire to be a person that is going to make their life count for God? Four things that you must do. you must flee from, you must follow after, you must fight for, you must be faithful to. And so as we close these series of messages from Timothy, as we come to the conclusion of this very practical letter, my encouragement to you today is that you might flee from the love of money, the desire to be rich, the lure of sexual attraction, that you might follow after those qualities of righteousness and godliness and faithfulness and love and endurance, that you might fight for the good fight, that you might be faithful to the gospel that has been entrusted to you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for these practical words of advice to this young man, Timothy. Lord, help us to take these words to heart today. Help us to heed the warning. Help us to rise to the challenge. Help us, Lord, to be faithful today, that we might jealously guard that which has been entrusted to us, and that we might share it far and wide so that others might come to know it as well. Lord, our desire is that we might be a man of God, a woman of God, someone who would live their life in a manner that is pleasing to you. And we ask and pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.